WISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
And good afternoon. All right, we're going to get this right again. I know, Tracy Morgan in for Dave. Dave is out again. And so, you know, we've talked together all morning long. And then, of course, thank you, Pat, for covering the noon news there for a half hour. And we got a pretty good show today. I'm excited about today because I'm going to update you on the Steeler information. I know Bob just did some sports, and I appreciate him covering the Steeler information. But just a few minutes ago, we had some information breaking, if you will, about the fines that were given. So we'll do that first. Then we're going to talk to PennDOT about the Paint the Plow program. I know we did a story, I believe it was yesterday, on that. And you only have a couple of days left to vote on your favorite plow. And I'll explain that. I'll have Jamie from PennDOT explain what the plow program is. We'll talk a little bit about the winter holiday or the winter season and winter events and how PennDOT does their job. So we'll do that before 1 o'clock. And then at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be joined by the Lighthouse, a couple of guests from the Lighthouse Foundation. We'll find out about their move that happened, we'll just say recently. It wasn't last month, but they did move to their new location. See how they're doing there and what they're doing for the holiday season. So that's our show today for It's Your Turn. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. All right, so before we get into the segment with PennDOT, we'll get them here on the phone in just a moment. Let me give you this information as I'm looking at it. Bob explained that the... I say show. What happened last night with the Steelers? First of all, they lost. And then second of all, what happened in the end? So each team, because of what happened in the end, we'll just say with the brawl, with the melee, each team, they're going to be fined $250,000. That's the team. Okay, so $250,000 for the team. Miles Garrett is suspended indefinitely. He's the Browns defenseman that ripped off the helmet of Rudolph, the quarterback for the Steelers, Mason Rudolph. And it was Garrett who, if you see the footage, he hits Rudolph in the head with the helmet. So he has been suspended indefinitely. And then I know Marquise Pouncey, he was suspended, I do believe, with three games there. David DeCastro, I didn't hear anything about. We'll have to look more into that. The other player, there were other players that were fined. They didn't release the amounts of those, so I'm not going to go through all the different players at this point. But $250,000 for each team, Steelers and the Browns. Garrett, which is the Browns player, indefinite suspension, and 3 games for Marquise Pouncey. And other fines. Fines were put out there as well. So, yeah, so that's the latest information on that. All right, so it's what 12:35 or so. Pat, we're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to get PennDOT on the phone. We'll talk with Jamie from PennDOT. She's going to talk about Paint the Plow project. We'll get into that. 1 o'clock will be the Lighthouse. We'll be back right after this. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey.
There were lots of famous duels in history, but ours involves pianos, not pistols. Connecting to Tomorrow presents an encore performance of Piano Maniacs on Saturday, November 16th at the Lindora Legion. Tickets are $20 each, and the proceeds benefit C2T's teen mentoring programs. Doors open at 6, and the musical fun starts at 7. BYOB must be 21, and food will be available. Get tickets at the door, Butler County Radio Network, or Eventbrite Online, and join C2T for some dueling piano fun.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Shopping for a mortgage? Don't just compare the mortgage rates. At Armco Credit Union, they'll not only offer a competitive rate, but they may be able to save you money with lower fees and closing costs. Whether you're looking for a VA, FHA, or conventional loan, they're here to help guide you through the mortgage process so you can make the best decision for your situation. Call today, 724-284-2020. Don't have time to call or visit? Apply for a mortgage online at armcocu.com. Like them on Facebook and be the first to learn about their promotions or events. Armco Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity and is federally insured by NCUA.
Well, good afternoon. We're back with It's Your Turn. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey, who's out for the day. So it's you and me for the next hour. I love it. All right. So what we're going to do is, as I promised, we're going to talk to Jamie Earhart from PennDOT, and we're going to welcome her in now. We'll have the Lighthouse Foundation coming up here in just a few minutes. But let me welcome Jamie into the program. Jamie with PennDOT, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you. And are you taking a breath before all the storms start?
A little bit.
Tis the season.
You know, we've already had some whiteouts, so I think I started, you know, I didn't start taking a break at all yet. So
I know. That's
we'll
what
see what happens.
I have some friends who do taxes, and we're always like, are you in season or out of season? You know, there's always those few months where you're just always,
we're always
at
up
it.
To something.
Right. Well, hey, let me ask you, because I wanted to talk to you about this Paint the Plow program, and I want to get a feel for what it is, because right now there's some voting that people can take part of, and that's only going to last for a couple of more days. So first of all, tell us what the Paint the Plow program is.
Sure. It's a community engagement opportunity that we do here at PennDOT that allows us, you know, the rare opportunity to connect with students. And we work with students to promote safe driving on Pennsylvania's roadways. The schools that participate, we ask them to create original artwork for a PennDOT plow, and that their artwork will actually be on a plow we use throughout the winter to maintain state roadways. And we use those plows in their respective counties. So, for example, you know, St. Luke Lutheran School in Butler will use that plow only in Butler. So the community gets to see the work done by the students as well. And this year, in particular, we tasked the students with designing and creating original artwork on a snow plow using a theme. And this year's theme is Don't Rush in Ice and Slush.
I'm losing you just a little bit. Your phone's crackling up just a bit. So it's Don't Rush in Slush, as you just mentioned. And so these plows, when you say they're supposed to come up with artwork, it's the entire plow. I mean, this is a big project.
Yes, it is. It's the entire plow. And the plows, they, again, are used on the roadways during winter. So they're visible when in full service during the winter months. And the blades, again, the whole purpose is to promote safety. And, you know, also to foster a greater appreciation of both PennDOT and the school's art program.
So, Jamie, when you talk about the plows will be in use, will all the plows that were decorated with this artwork from the various schools, not just St. Luke, but we'll talk about the other schools involved here in a minute, are all of those plows in use over the winter, or is just the winter in use over winter?
We use them the entire winter. And generally, the paint, it kind of depends on if the school uses its seal coat or not, but the paint generally will weather out once winter's over.
So the snow plows, are they then reused for next year?
That's right.
Okay.
Artwork doesn't come off, if for some reason it doesn't come off or they use the seal coat, we'll just give them another plow and keep using the same plow. We wait until they're completely weathered off until we'll reuse them. So there are some schools, their artwork from last year, we still have them, that artwork on a plow, and we don't want to take it off.
Right.
So we're actually, using plows from last year this winter as well.
And it's funny because I'm trying to think of the men and women who are using the plows, do they ever say, I hate to use that because it looks so nice? You know, when you see these nice pieces of artwork, you hate to be a part of, you know, wiping them off, if you will.
It's actually quite the opposite. They're super excited to have plows, to use the plows that are painted plows.
They're oh, good.
Extremely proud of themselves. So.
So tell me about the districts then, because you have this going on other locations as well, right? I mean, in our district, it's District 10. What are the schools that you can tell us about that are in our district that participated?
Right. So there are 11 districts in PennDOT, and all of us, every district, does the Paint the Plow program. But when we look at our district, specifically Butler County, we have the most schools that we have participating in our district are in Butler. So that includes Butler County AVTS, Holy Sepulchre High School, Catholic School, rather, Knock High School, Monito High School.
Monito, yeah.
Porterville. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep, that's all right. That's okay. I know. That's all right. That's all right. Monito.
And Portersville Christian School, along with St. Luke.
Yeah, so there are a lot of, and there are a few others in there as well, right? I mean, because you said there are a lot of different schools. And so how
yeah, we have, yep, 16 in our district.
Right, right. So how do you get the schools to participate? Do you go to them? Do they come to you? Is it kind of half and half? How is this done?
We go to them. We send out a packet, or I sent out a packet to our district. This past spring, I believe they went out in the beginning of May. Now, generally, we'll actually be sending them earlier. I just happened to start here in my position at May, and it was vacant before then. But we got everyone in time. So this year, I'll be sending them out most likely in April. We send each school a packet. And then if they want to register, they send us a registration form, and then a long process kind of goes on until we get the plows on the school sites.
All right, Jamie, so we're talking about the process. We're talking about the art. The artwork is already done. The big crucial thing for the public to understand is that the public can vote on these particular plows, and that is only going on for a very, very short time at this point because voting has been underway. So talk about the voting process. How do we go about doing this?
Sure. So how PennDOT as we're looking at the state, it's generally like one district has 1 week dedicated to their voting. So District 10 voting, it began on November 11th and it ends November 17th. And when I say November 17th, I mean 11 up to 11:59 p.m. on November 17th. And all the voting is done through SurveyMonkey, and we've done a couple different things to try and get that link out to the public. You can go to our District 10 website, but we've also been sending out press releases with that link to SurveyMonkey, and we have been promoting and posting that link on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Now, people that don't sign up to get our news releases, or they don't use social media, all they really need to do is go to PennDOT.gov/District10, and on the right-hand side, they're going to see a button that says Paint the Plow. And they'll hit that button, they'll go to our whole Paint the Plow website for District 10, and in the middle of the page, there's a big button that says Vote Now.
Okay, so again, PennDOT.gov/District10, and we can go from there.
That's right.
Okay, so that's easy enough. So the deadline, again, in just a couple of days on the 17th, since we're already on Friday the 15th, my goodness, where have we gone, right? November and then December
right.
will be here. But so what does the winner get? Like when you say you're the winner, can you just take the pride home with you for the year, or do you get something out of this?
You get the pride and the fame.
Ah, nice. I love it, yeah.
But also, the state of Pennsylvania will provide the winning school that gets fan favorite and or district favorite. They'll get a certificate from the state of Pennsylvania, and also will promote that locally.
Oh, good. Okay. So is there a place that we can see these plows, or do we just go, if we're passing, like St. Luke? I did pass St. Luke, and I saw their plow out where their parking area is. Do each location have their own plow, or can we see all these plows in one spot?
You can see all these plows on one spot when you go to vote. So I actually decided to put all of our counties for our district together. So if you want to see a picture of each of the plows from every county, you can go on and vote. It's on the voting page at the SurveyMonkey link. Also, Some of these schools have them out front, but generally right now most of them are out front of each of our district, each of our county buildings. So Butler County building on Newcastle Road, there might be some out there. But generally online is the easiest place. Again, you can see them when you vote, or of course they're on in a Flickr slideshow on our District 10 webpage.
Jamie is with us from PennDOT. If you're just joining us here on the show and it's your turn, I'm Tracy in for Dave. So Dave will be back in a few days, just taking some time off. But so Jamie is talking about the Paint the Plow program, and this is where you can vote for your favorite decorated plow, and they've been done by area schools. So you can go on to PennDOT.gov/District10 and look on the left-hand side. You can just take a couple more steps there, and you can go ahead and vote. And so when you talk about the public voting, which, again, folks, mm-hmm. you only have until, Sunday night at 11:59 to do so. You also have a judge's pick, but is that in-house in PennDOT?
It is, yes. The district pick is selected by a panel of 3 to 5 judges, and they're comprised of representatives from the PennDOT district office. And this is the same in every district. It's how we do it across the state. And once we choose the 3 to 5 judges, we give them very specific parameters for making their selection. So there's a whole worksheet, believe it or not. There's a whole worksheet with different things we're looking for that, you know, we communicate to the schools in the original packet.
And now is the time to see the plows, because when they go into action and they're all covered with snow, you don't get to see the beauty. You know, you're just concerned on driving and so glad that the plow truck is passing you or in front of you. So you don't really get to see the beauty, because these really take a lot of work. Again, I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, the paintings on these, the work takes up the entire plow.
Yeah, they're amazing. They really are. And I'm every time I got to see one come in, you know, once they were finished, I couldn't believe it for every single one. They're awesome.
I always admire artists in doing their work, but then when you do such a large piece, it just all comes together. You just have to admire their work that they do, and the kids and the students and the art teachers and whomever is out there, they're doing this. So talk a little bit. You know what? I know I only have you for a couple more minutes, Jamie, and I know we're focusing on the Paint the Plow program, but I do want to talk about PennDOT while you're here with me. So you know, what are you preparing for? How are you guys preparing? Are you looking at any weather events coming up here in the next month or so, or what are you looking for?
Well, for Butler in particular, we have 85 permanent operators and 16 temporary operators, and they're all using tent piles, stockpiles throughout Butler County, and we're utilizing 42 plow trucks, 4 anti-icing trucks, graders, and 10 loaders. So that's what we have in our arsenal. And generally, I don't see any large winter storms coming up within the next month, but of course that's wildly subject
to
change.
Right, yeah.
But well, I will share with you, you know, what do we do when we know we're going to get, you know, a big storm.
Yeah, please do,
so,
yeah.
Sure, behind the scenes, I mean, this is, when we know we're getting a storm, it starts from the moment we know we're getting something. So PennDOT will actually hold statewide web conferences with staff here, and I'm on that team as well, weather experts. We have officials from PEMA and the state police, and we all come together and we discuss what our preparations are and see if we can share any resources. Then during the actual storm, winter operations go into full force, and that includes removal of snow and ice, as well as applying de-icing materials on all state highways and bridges. So that answers your question to, you know, what do we do beforehand? And then, of course, during, we are removing the snow and ice. Now, I do want to mention, however, that with the de-icing, that's our prep, that we use on the roads. It's like a salt brine on the roads, brine. But we only can use that when the weather starts out as snow, because if it starts out as rain, it'll wash it right off the road.
Oh, okay.
So just a couple of days ago, I believe Monday or Tuesday this week, we had rain, and we couldn't quite prep it for the 2 inches we got in under an hour.
And then it was really cold, so that rain or that wetness would have turned to some ice, I would assume.
Yes, it was not pleasant for any of us. And, of course, it happened right during rush hour. And a lot of people maybe don't think about this, but if you're stuck in traffic, so are we. So it was a kind of perfect storm,
right?
I think, of starting out as rain, so we couldn't prep correctly as, you know, we would normally do. Then it goes to snow. Snows 2 inches in under an hour, which is pretty amazing.
Right.
And it's during rush hour.
And I know those
are some challenges we have to live with.
I know you guys hear it, and I know we hear it, and I understand that the thought process is out there is when a winter event occurs, you hear people starting to say, well, I didn't see PennDOT anywhere. But at the same time, I talk to you all. You know, I talk to your workers sometimes. I talk to you, and there's the exhaustion of, wow, I've worked like it feels like 9 days straight. Because it's just long hours. You're out there all the time, and you can't be on every road every time. But talk to this point, if you don't mind, because I understand when you put out the word to people that we're trying to make the roads passable, that's different than totally clear you see the asphalt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So is that true?
When snow is falling, roads will not be free of ice and snow. And the main reason is we have routes. The trucks have routes. So if snow is falling at 1 inch per hour, for example, a truck takes 3 hours to return to the beginning of its route to replow. So in that time, 3 inches would have already fallen. So when an operator is plowing snow from a roadway, it depends on the depth and heaviness of the slush or snow, how bad the storm is, and additionally, we only try to maintain the major roadways where we have the most traffic in the most severe storms. So it's not to say that we will not be plowing secondary roads, but for a passable route during a huge winter storm, you know, our priority is going to be the major thoroughfares.
Yeah, and I appreciate you touching on that. I know we wanted to focus on the Paint the Plow project, but it's that time of year. You know, we're getting into it again, and you all work very, very hard.
The reality is we live in Pennsylvania.
Right, right.
So we see these types of weather conditions, especially winter. And unfortunately, because we live in Pennsylvania, we can prepare. You know, it's not perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate all that you do, so thank you very much for
you.
Being out there, and it can be tough keeping up with that. All right, so I only have you for a couple more minutes, Jamie, and I just wanted to get back to that Paint the Plow program. Because, again, folks, why I wanted to talk to Jamie today is because the Paint the Plow program has been done by area schools in our district. I know it goes on elsewhere as well, but you got different schools that are in our district, and they've been a part of this. Like, I know Jamie... talked about, well, Brockway was one, not necessarily immediately in our area, but Brookville was a part of that, Holy Sepulchre, and Clarion Limestone, I know, up north a little bit, Homer City, and Homer High School, I believe, Knock a part of this, Leechburg a part of this, Montauk a part of this, and I'm missing one. Oh, Portersville Christian School, at least in our area, St. Luke Lutheran School as well. So, and there were some other schools, so you have until the 17th to vote, and you can vote, which is the fun part. So you can see them all online at PennDOT.gov/District 10. So that's why I wanted to talk to Jamie today. But Jamie, when you're talking about the Paint the Plow program, are you already gearing up for next year's program, or you will just wait until this is over in January and the winter's over? When do you start planning for the next round of this?
January.
Okay. You're like, don't talk to me about it until January. Because, you have a tough few months coming up.
Yeah, I mean, this program is like the most fun thing I do. That's all there is to say. It's the most fun thing I get to do. So, like a lot of things we do here at PennDOT, if we're not doing, we're preparing. So, even though, you know, this is almost a year-round, initiative along with others, I'm excited about it. It's something I look forward to doing every step of the way. The teachers are amazing. They volunteer, you know, they take this on.
And it's their supplies, right? I mean, the schools are gathering the supplies on their own. PennDOT's not offering
the
supplies. So that's another thing that, you know, and I have a lot of people who talk about how can I help schools. If you know that your school is going to be doing this next year, And that's one opportunity that you could help your school's folks. So, I mean, you could ask, can I offer the paint? Can I pay for the paint? Can I paint for whatever the supplies are that you need in order for this to get done? Because the schools or the I don't know who pays for it exactly, but they're taking it on.
They have to raise that themselves because, you know, we're very tight with money here at PennDOT. So they completely take this on themselves, and I think that's a great idea. There may have very well been schools who didn't participate because they didn't have the money either. So I think that's a great thing. The people in the community or even churches, whatever, nonprofits, could offer those supplies to the schools because, again, these teachers take on this whole duty that, you know, by themselves. And and again, we're just so proud here at PennDOT to have those plows and to show them off.
I love it. Jamie, any final thoughts you want to leave with us today about the paint the plow or just winter coming up?
Yeah, I just, again, I love this program. And the artwork is consistently amazing. But my favorite part of this is that it's a project that serves a purpose. These plows, not only do they serve as unexpected pleasant surprises when there's a storm, but they're promoting safety messages for people on the roadways, and it's not just for show. We actually use the plows, so you know nothing goes to waste.
They're gorgeous. They're well done. Jamie Earhart is with PennDOT. Thank you for your time, and I don't know if I say well wishes or good luck during the winter, or we'll be waiting to see you on the roadways. I know that.
Thank you so much, Tracy. I appreciate
your
time.
Hey, Jamie, have a great day.
You too.
All righty, so that means we are coming close up to 1 o'clock, and what we're going to do in the next segment is we're going to welcome in two guests from the Lighthouse Foundation. Lighthouse Foundation, a lot of us have heard of. We're familiar with the name unless we volunteer with it. Do we know what they do? So we're going to talk about that, but primarily what they're doing over the holidays for families that are in need. So that'll be the Lighthouse Foundation right after this with WISR 680 with It's Your Turn. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey.
When planning a funeral, many times there's the question of cremation. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler can answer your questions about cremation. Is cremation appropriate? Should there be a funeral service? How would your family feel about cremation? And of course, what's the cost? Keep in mind that even with cremation, it's a time to celebrate the meaningful life of your loved one. It's a precious time. Cremation has three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's local. Thompson Miller Cremation Program is right here in Butler at our newly created facility. We assure you that your loved one will never leave our care at any point in the process. So let's talk it over privately right here at Thompson Miller. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive.
And we're back with It's Your Turn. Good afternoon. Tracy Morgan in with you. Yeah, Dave's on vacation today, so it's going to be us for the next half hour. And then it's Friday. Friday. Well, I know it's been Friday, but once you get done with the job, you know, Friday becomes a whole lot better, doesn't it? As we were talking in-house on you know, Dave's shift is a great shift, and I said to somebody, yeah, but this is a great job. I love doing it, love doing it. But on a Friday at 1:30, you know, you become a happier person. You really do. All right. So thanks for joining us. We're going to get into a discussion with the Lighthouse here, the Lighthouse Foundation, in just a moment. I know it's a big day. It's a big week. I know there are a lot of information that's going on. Since we're not going to do the 1 o'clock news, as Dave never does, just want to give you an update that I saw just about an hour or so ago. That if you're following along with all the politics, and I'm not going down the political road, I'm just going to tell you that Trump associate Roger Stone found guilty on all counts. So you're going to be hearing that throughout the day as well. So I'll just break that to you, and we'll go on. And the Steeler news, if you haven't heard, both teams from last night, Steelers and Browns, they both got fined $250,000. $250,000 for each team. And then the Browns player that ripped off the helmet of Rudolph and hit Rudolph over the head, Mason Rudolph, of course, the quarterback that's in there now. Myles Garrett is the defensive lineman for the Browns. He was suspended indefinitely. Pouncey got 3-game suspension. There were other players that got fined, but yeah, they didn't release all that information and detail, so we'll just leave it at that. So there were other fines that went along with that, but yeah. So that's the latest in the sports world. So there we go. All right. Interesting day. So let's get to it. We got the Lighthouse Foundation in today. A couple of guests. Victoria Sprague is the acting director, can we say, Victoria? And Teresa Rodriguez, also with the Lighthouse Foundation. And hi, ladies.
Hi.
It's like, yay, it's Friday. The ladies are taking over.
Oh, yeah.
We love Dave, but you know what? When the ladies come in and chat, I don't know if we'll leave at 1:30 and be happier people. But welcome. And I'm so glad you're in. We don't get to talk to you much. And so I'm glad that you're in, because I know, Teresa, we've talked off the air a little bit about your Christmas efforts.
Yes.
That you're doing with the Lighthouse. So I want to talk to you about that in a second.
Yes.
But Victoria, I want to start with you, because I want to kind of get that overview of the Lighthouse, because it's one of those things that we heard about your move. I want to ask you about your move as well. And people will just so easily say, oh, it's the Lighthouse Foundation. Hmm. And I'm like, but what do they do? And then the conversation kind of comes to a halt. So since you're here,
yes,
Tell us, generally speaking, what you do.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, obviously, to be here and to tell you. So the Lighthouse Foundation, our mission is to encourage others to find hope in Christ by meeting their immediate needs and empowering them toward self-sufficiency. That is a huge mouthful, but what it looks like is meeting people in their crisis, in their immediate need of maybe needing housing or food for their lives and their families. And then we want to invest in those lives. We want to love them right where they are and provide them the tools and resources necessary to move them towards self-sufficiency. Everything from a financial literacy course to job skills training, parenting classes. We have a vehicle LIGO car program. We want to meet them where they are, love them, but also provide them the resources that they may need to break that cycle of poverty.
So where do you come into the cycle of someone's life? And I say that because a lot of times we'll talk to the hospital on many occasions, and if there's a need, there's somebody there that kind of coordinates that, or at least offers information that somebody can make a decision. In your situation, do people come directly to you? Are you referred out? Like, where do you come into our lives?
Right. Absolutely. I think in many different ways. If you are specifically talking about our transitional housing, which is for homeless individuals and families, we sometimes get those referrals through Catholic Charities, the center point of contact of homelessness for Butler County. We may have people physically come off the streets for that. If you're specifically wanting to know about our food pantry and those we serve, they come from all over Butler County and Northern Allegheny County. So we're meeting those people through our doors for the first time, sometimes in the biggest crisis of their life, or they are down on their luck, or they have hit the hardest rock bottom place that they've been through. So meeting them is at different levels, and they also can come from many different places. A lot of times people are surprised to hear we serve those that live in Cranberry, that might live in a nice house and something, they fell in hard times and their husband lost their job, or the wife got sick and they couldn't afford their medication and the rent and the food, and they had no idea where to turn. And because people have heard of the Lighthouse and know that we're here to help in any situation, or we will, you know, certainly try our best and love them right where they are, It's almost word of mouth to, hey, have you checked out the lighthouse?
And talk to that person who may be listening right now, mm-hmm. who may live in that nice house. Maybe they're used to a certain level of living, and the next thing you know, they're the ones that need the help, but they're still living in their nice house. And if you feel kind of guilty, I would think, thinking, wait, but I'm the one who needs help. And I say that from experience because I've been let go of jobs. Mm-hmm. And so when all of a sudden the job is gone, the money is gone, and the next thing you know, you're in need of something. And in my case, it was gift certificates that just showed up. And I'm like, wow. But you do feel a little guilty because it's like, but I don't think of myself as someone who needed the help.
Right. If I could speak directly to a person that thinks, someone else is out there that's worse than I am, mm-hmm. or there's yeah. someone that needs this more than I would encourage that person to know we are here to help regardless of that level of need or the situation. We want to help you before you get an eviction notice. We want to help you before your fridge is completely empty and you have no food to feed your family. We want to be there to help support you so you're standing on solid ground and that you don't fall to that rock bottom, to be able to provide. I would encourage anybody in any type of need to please reach out because that's why we're here. A lighthouse, you know, stands tall and firm, shining a bright light. It doesn't necessarily, lighthouse doesn't go into the sea looking for those lost ships. It's to stand there and be bright. So I would say come in for your need.
Absolutely. Your move. How did the move go? Because you went from one location on Route 8, moved down a little bit into the old school. Well, I say old school, not that it's that old, but you know, you went into a different location. Mm-hmm. So how was the move?
It was a lot.
How was any move, right?
A lot of packing.
Boxes, packing, unpacking.
Heavy lifting.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah.
Several dumpsters later. We moved from our old location, which was on Crookshank Road, and that was last October of 2018. And so we've been there now a full calendar year, right. Into another holiday season. And we moved into, like you said, the old school building. Concordia has graciously allotted us the space that we need to serve those in our community. So the move was pretty fast. We had a lot of volunteers, so thankful. But it has provided us with so much more space and opportunities to be able to serve our community.
And when you say Concordia, if for folks who haven't been there, it's one of those locations when you're traveling along Route 8, you see it, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, there they are, but you don't realize what's behind it. So when you get off of Route 8, mm-hmm. you're actually seeing Concordia's side of the building first, and then you would go off to the right around the building, and that's where you are.
Yes.
The Lighthouse Foundation. Mm-hmm. And so has it given you more room to expand since you've moved? Have you expanded your services or just space, or why did you move in the first place?
We needed to move because of the growing need in the community. You know, at our old location, we were operating 2 days a week, our food pantry. And of course, we housed our main offices there as well. Now we are able to operate 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, still have our main offices and a beautiful computer lab. We've been able to offer our newest adventure, Tech Tuesdays, where a gentleman comes in, volunteers his time in our computer lab, that anyone's welcome to come and bring your devices, your new phones, whatever it may be. And he's there to guide you, to provide instructions, to help you, whether it's Excel, how to open your email, how to operate your new iPhone. It was just a really huge blessing and a great opportunity that he wanted to offer this, and we could have him come in and do that because of the space we have available.
And I say it as a joke, and then I say it as serious as I could get. So I can ask him and not my kids.
Right. You know,
my kids are showing me, oh, Mommy, just press that and that. And I'm like, what did you press?
I know.
And I have no idea, and I'm so far behind. By the time something new comes out, mm-hmm. with three cameras, you know, now I don't even know how to operate what I had.
It's so true. So
that's every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday, Tech Tuesday.
And what times? That just is, the time that you're open?
I believe Tech Tuesdays is 1 to 2 o'clock.
Okay, 1 to 2. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
An hour. So I love it. I love it.
Really,
so do you have
cool.
to sign up for that, or do you just show up? And
you just show up.
What's his name? What's his first name?
Steve.
Steve. We need Steve.
We love Steve.
We love hashtag
Steve is awesome.
We love Steve.
Yes.
I'll bet you two love Steve whenever you're in the office. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, Steve.
Yeah. How do I make this pie chart out of these numbers?
Yes. Right. We love Steve. Go, Steve.
Yeah.
All right. So let me talk to you about the food pantry first, because mm-hmm. then, Teresa, I want to bring you in with the Christmas, because I did want to focus on some Christmas items. But your food pantry, explain how your food pantry runs.
Our food pantry runs almost like a grocery store in the sense that we've provided choice. When a recipient or anyone in the community comes to be served through the Lighthouse Foundation. They have their own grocery cart. They are picking the items off the shelves that they like and need for their families. They are able to bag these up or box them up, whatever's easiest for them as they go through the line. And that's everything from fresh produce to canned goods to meats, milk, eggs. We have dairy. There's the baked goods section, my favorite.
Right.
And then the bread, which is also the carbs, my second favorite right out of the line. So
when you're volunteering there, we know where to find
you.
Right?
Bagels.
Let go of the bread, Victoria. Let go of the bread.
And then we have this really cool miscellaneous section at the end of the line, right before like our little prayer station or cubicle we have. But they are things that are donated from Walmart or Target or local stores that come in that really don't have a place. It might be random. What's awesome is in the summer, it might be sunscreen, and we're able to put that out. Or a roll of toilet paper or just things that we're able to offer that has been donated to us that we can bless your family with. It's really cool.
We're talking about how you help the community. Lighthouse Foundation, of course, with us, folks, if you're just joining us in the conversation. I'm Tracy, in for Dave. Dave's just off for the day. So he'll be back here in a few days taking a vacation. But anyway, point is, whenever you're talking about the Lighthouse and the food pantry and how you help the community, how big is the need? I want to say how bad is the need, but how large is it? Because even though you're talking Cranberry, of course, Butler, I'm sure you're helping Mars, and the surrounding area. I know the need goes beyond that. But are you ever surprised that you think, wow, I didn't realize it was this big? How big is it?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay. All right.
How do you measure the need or what your community is in need of? And I can really just go by the numbers. That's the proof, the statistics. And looking at those and the people that we serve, those that come through the Lighthouse Foundation, they are our neighbors. They're our friends. They're our family. They're people we see in the store or at the gas station. You know, these aren't strangers or, you know, people from far, far away coming here. It's our local community. And just in Butler County, so far this year, we have served over 1,500 households and have provided over 10,000 food orders to Butler County.
That's a lot.
Yes.
And have you seen those numbers grow, or who takes care of those statistics? The county itself?
No. When someone comes in to receive a food order, we use Pantry Track. We're actually changing pretty soon. The Link to Feed, I think, is the new name. Mm-hmm. But it's an electronic system. They come in and register. They have their own file, their own chart, and just keeps all of their information in that keeps track of those orders, the pounds, and everything like that we do give. So we track all that, and the need has definitely grown.
Wow.
So, you know, this is November. You know, Christmas is next month. Thanksgiving is soon. Right. We always see those numbers almost skyrocket during that time. But like I mentioned before, we had to move because we had outgrown our facility because of the need in the community. We want to continue to serve and meet those needs. So in order to do that, we had to move and accommodate with that. So the need is growing. It has continuously grown, but specifically during the holidays, we see that even more.
Great segue. Love Victoria. Woo! Victoria's great, of course. Teresa is here too. And Teresa, let's talk about the holidays then,
if
we can, because you do a lot during the holidays for kids and for families, but let's just focus on kids for a moment.
Sure.
And then we can talk about families. But what do you do during the holidays that's specific for kids and the Lighthouse?
Yes, so the Lighthouse has been in existence since 1985, and the Lighthouse has offered a toy shop since that very first year that we were open. So this year is our 34th year to offer a toy shop to the families who are served through our food pantry. And it's a great opportunity to just be able to relieve that stress of, you know, families that are living paycheck to paycheck. And the holidays come, there's more family in town, there's more mouths to feed, the children are home from school, more meals than they would be during other times. And so times are tough, and we love the opportunity to help provide those presents for the families, you know, so that we can relieve that burden for them.
How does this work? Is there one party, everyone gets together, or do you give the presents to the families and then they can hold their own celebrations?
Yes. So as a family would come into the food pantry and get an order anytime since October 1st, they would have received an invitation card and registered for our event. And so we know beforehand what children are coming, what ages we're in need of, where we're kind of short on toys and where we are really good on toys. So it's a great We have a lot of time to prepare for that and to have them come in.
And so what I want to know, though, is where I'm going to go with this is the public, because I know at this time of the year, everybody wants to give. Everybody wants, and that's good. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, deny anybody that. But do we check with you first on what it is that you need? Because if you have a pretty good idea of where you're falling short on toys or clothes or whatever it is that, or do you collect clothes? That's another question I have for you. But if you already know where you're falling short or what your needs are, do we call you first before we'd want to donate?
Yes. Or you can visit our website at thelighthousepa.org. We have an event page for the toy shop where you can sponsor the event. You can donate towards the event. You mm-hmm. can hold a toy drive or a gift card drive or actually volunteer mm-hmm. at our event. So we have a link to signup.com where you can go on and see where the need is for volunteers the evening before the event and the day of the event. So that's a great way to partner with us as well.
And when you say gift card, sometimes that's the easiest thing for people to give as
yes.
well. Do you take any kind of gift cards, everything from Amazon to Target to, I mean, every
yes.
gas stations, I mean, wherever? You never know.
So we take gift cards. Generally, we like to receive them in $25 increments.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart and Target are probably the most popular. Amazon is tough because our event happens a couple weeks before Christmas. And if you don't have Prime, you're probably not going to get that gift in time.
Okay.
And
okay.
so I would stick more to the stores that are in the area. Mm-hmm. And so Walmart and Target are the best. If you're thinking of helping the kids who like to play video games, then GameStop is also a good option for the older teenagers.
I think we live there.
I think
we do. Yes. I got two boys. I've said that millions of times. We're always in GameStop. Got to stop at GameStop if mom's shopping. So then what else can we do to help you in the efforts that you have during the holidays? Again, just talking kids right now, and then I'm going to ask you about families.
Okay. So You can hold the drives, mm-hmm. like I said, for the actual toy shop. You can volunteer with our food pantry and help serve the families that are coming through that program. You can volunteer with our transitional housing program and help serve the families that are living in our housing. And all of that can be found on our website mm-hmm. under the volunteer tab, or, you know, call and speak to a staff member about a specific, you know, There is a space for every talent. You know, if
right.
there's something you specifically have on your heart to give to the children that we serve through our programs, then please call us, and we will definitely plug you in and find a place for you.
And you can hand out bread like Victoria does.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Which is a good thing, and I don't mean to joke about it. It is a very good thing. But what about then the families? Because I'm sure that you see a different need or maybe an additional need. I know, Victoria, you talked about the food and how that is a huge need during the holidays. But how do you help families as a whole, not just the kids, during the holidays?
Sure. So all of our programs serving the community, when we're serving the parents of a family, the adults in the family, we're essentially serving the children as well. And so we have a emergency financial assistance program where parents, families can come in and get help with rent, a first month's deposit, or small car repairs, something like that. When you are assisting the families in this way, you're relieving that burden and, you know, allowing them to focus on other needs that they may have. And also, when people come in for food through the food pantry, we are giving out, you know, to like $250 worth of food in an order. That allows for that grocery money to be used to pay other vital bills like rent and mm-hmm. utilities. And so essentially, we are keeping families in their homes. We're helping them to have stable housing, to get into a safe transportation through our car program. And so
there are different ways. Yeah, you have a lot of different ways that you help families. Absolutely. And Victoria, I want to bring you back in here for a moment because, and I know you could speak to this too, Teresa, but the volunteers,
yes.
as you both have talked about volunteers, if somebody wants to volunteer, I understand, I hear you with the food pantry and you could, you know, do something along those lines, but, and Steve, right?
With yes. God bless Steve.
The technology. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God bless Steve. We love him. But what other ways can we volunteer with the Lighthouse?
That's a great question. And again, I'll bring up just the food pantry one more time, but not necessarily in helping maybe hand out that food or serve that food or set up or maybe tear down, but once a month, because of the amount of traffic that we have coming through our organization, once a month we have a cleanup crew that is all volunteers that want to come and give of their time one Saturday morning to help break down, shut down everything, clean the freezers and the refrigerators out, the floors, whatever it may be, and get that ready and prepared for the next month because of how much people we have come through. There are opportunities in our housing units to help maybe furnish an apartment or help clean one that maybe was left and it's not the nicest that they had, the nicest way they've left it. There's opportunities to donate. I know, you know, volunteering, but also donating. I just want to say, we mentioned about how much the Lighthouse has grown, how the need has grown. We have grown because the need has grown, which also means that we need to also be able to meet that need. And that takes support. It does. There was a Girl Scout troop. Like I said, you said volunteers. Troops all the time want to volunteer, or organizations. And this one Girl Scout troop decided, there were 12 of them, they were going to each buy a box of stuffing and donate that box of stuffing to the Lighthouse Foundation. So that's 12 families that got a box of stuffing. If that Girl Scout troop would have donated that $12 to the Lighthouse Foundation, because of our partnership with Greater Pitt, we buy things in bulk at a lower rate. So, you know, for an example, that $12 that they got 12 boxes of stuffing, we may have been able to purchase 30 boxes of stuffing with that $12 because of our partnership and how we feed. So many ways to volunteer, many ways to support us, and we're certainly appreciative of all of those.
Absolutely. And how about for the Christmas end of things?
Yes. So if you are interested in being a part of the Christmas event, then I would encourage you to visit the event page on our website. It's under the event tab on our website. It has all the links there to support. If you have an idea outside the box that I've not mentioned, please call us, because we would love to hear it. We would love, we've had people offer to dress up as you know, Santa or elves to be at the actual event.
Right.
Or if you would like to come play music or something for the families as they wait to go through and shop for their toys, we would love that. So I would say to check the website or to call us.
I'm going to ask you both this question, and then, you know, I'll start with you, Victoria, and then I'll ask you, Teresa, the same thing. But what's it mean to you personally to work for the Lighthouse? I mean, how is it connected with you? Why do you feel that it's so important?
Absolutely. The Lighthouse Foundation, it's my family. They're my friends. I have been there now for almost 10 years. And I found the Lighthouse Foundation in a time of my life that was in transition, kind of chaos. I just, you know, graduated college, really didn't have a place to go because my mom had fallen on hard times and was living with her mom. And so through now knowing it was God's plan the whole time, I had met someone at the Lighthouse Foundation that said they were hiring for a resident manager position. And I, you know, just graduated 2 degrees, and I couldn't wait to get thrown into that social work field. So just being guided each way in every step, the Lighthouse was there for me through everything. I've learned how to love, you know, through them, and receive that love. But more importantly, I have seen how we can change and affect people's lives by loving them right where they are. And that's something that you don't get to do in most people's everyday lives. It's not every day that you get to love people right where they are. Because that's how Christ loves us, and it's truly an honor and a blessing. And I love every day is different. Not every day is 9 to 5.
Right, right.
That's true.
Teresa, how about your viewpoint?
So I had a little bit of a different experience where I actually went to the Lighthouse as a teenager. You know, rode the activity bus from good old Pine Richland over to the Lighthouse to hang out and play pool and basketball. And so I had already had a connection to the Lighthouse, and when I was looking for a place to volunteer, they were the first place I thought of to go volunteer. And so 8 years ago, I started as a volunteer. I think I was there twice, and they came and offered me a job to be a resident manager, and I jumped right in. I was terrified because I'd never done anything like that, but I had a social work degree, and I thought, well, let's do it. It's going to be fun. and so I did that for 4 years. And then for the last 4 years, I've been in the main office as the grant writer and the marketing person. And so it was a totally different experience as far as, you know, in resident manager position, you're working directly with the people that we're serving. I, you know, like a house mom with the clients and the families that are living in transitional housing, as opposed to being behind a computer and working with donors and trying to convey our passion for helping people, to encourage people to donate to what we're doing. And so it really is a unique experience to be a part of the Lighthouse, and I'm so blessed by it. As Victoria said, it really is quite something to know that what you're doing is essentially changing someone's life and helping them in a very dark time, and we get to be the light, and it's awesome.
And you're continuing to grow, I know, and as I introduced you, Victoria, I said acting executive director right now, which means that there are positions there that people could come in and work with you, and I know they could get in contact with you if they wanted to talk more about that.
Yes.
But congratulations on your role.
Thank you. And
Teresa, I'm glad that you're here in your capacity too. And it's nice to hear your journeys as you've come through, and you already had a connection. Because I'm wondering about the feedback from people, and it sounds like you both are giving feedback. So what do you hear from other people? Do you find that people also give back because they were helped at one point in their life?
Yeah. Teresa. Yes. I was like, Teresa got that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we find, I love this because it's like it's the full circle. We find that a multitude of people that in a time of their lives were being served through the food pantry come back later after they've gotten on their feet or they're in a better place in life and volunteer, they donate. They are our biggest supporters, people who've needed the Lighthouse at some point in their lives. And it's such a cool experience to watch somebody who's come in for food because they got hurt on the job and there's no savings, there's no unemployment, there's nothing, and they're coming in for food. Our food bank is the only food they're getting. And to watch them journey for, 6 months of going through the food pantry to, getting well, being able to get back on their feet and get a job. I'm thinking of a specific client that we've served recently that came back and said, guess what? I'm sad to say it, but I'm excited to say that I don't need you anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm on my feet. I'm good to go. And I will be back to volunteer. And we fully expect him to come back and volunteer. But it's really neat to see the full extent of someone's experience of being so low to getting, the stability and the encouragement and the resources, then to, be moving forward into stability and being able to come back and give back to a program and an organization that gave so much to them at one time.
I'm going to squeeze in another question before I ask your contact information, and we've got to go. We're so out of time, and I want to talk to you for another hour, but still. So let me ask you about the Christian aspect of this, because you are faith-based.
Yes.
And so, Victoria, how do you see that makes a difference in what you do?
It's key to what we do, because we are broken people working with broken people, and what they're facing in life, that crisis that they may be going through, Jesus is the answer. Providing that hope comes from what I believe and we believe as an organization is Jesus Christ. So loving them where they are and providing them that hope and letting them know they have a purpose, they are loved, there's a reason for them to be here. It is truly the most important thing we get to do in someone's life, and it's a huge honor to be able to do that.
Lighthouse Foundation, contact information. Website, phone number?
Sure. Website is thelighthousepa.org. Phone number 724-586-5554. And there's a staff member or volunteer to answer the phones at all time. Our normal office hours, Monday through Thursday, 9 to 4, Friday, 9 to 2.
Victoria, thank you so much
for
coming in. Teresa, thank you very much
for
coming in.
Lighthouse
Foundation. And, of course, always go to the website if you want to help out with the Christmas effort, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Happy holidays to you, too, by the way.
You, too.
Yeah,
Happy Christmas.
I know. Thanks. Well, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving round and Merry Christmas and all that. All right.
Happy New Year.
I'm already on
Talk
Christmas.
Talk to you next year. All right, folks. Well, we are out of time, but Dave, actually, you know what? I think I'll be back next week. Can we do it again, Pat, next week? All right. Pat says yes. So I'll be back with you again on Monday. So we'll do this bright and early again on Monday morning. And then, of course, I'll take you through It's Your Turn while Dave takes another day off. So we'll do that. You have a wonderful weekend. It should be a nice and bright and sunny weekend. Temperatures in the 40s. Is that what I checked last time, Pat? All right. Pat's always my go-to guy. So in the 40s, so you should enjoy that as well. So take care. Have a great weekend. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn on WISR 680 AM.
Miller's Shoes, South Main Street, downtown Butler, where families have been shopping for value and quality for over a century. In fact, for 127 years, believe it or not. Just think about that. Miller's Shoes, 127 years, downtown Butler. They're your headquarters for famous name brand shoes that you know are going to last. We're talking about Timberland shoes and boots, by the way. Great, as we head into the cold weather season, Timberland. They also have rock ports, they've got trotters, they've got hush puppies, they've got men's and women's slippers. Where do you find slippers? Miller's Shoes. And a complete selection of athletic shoes for everybody in the family, men, women, teens, kids. They've got all the famous name brands right there under one roof. Nike and New Balance and Saucony and Rockport and Keds and Skechers and Easy Spirit and Asics and ProPet. They've got them all right there. Miller's also your local headquarters for SAS Comfort Shoes. Miller's Shoes, 127 years, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.